Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. There's a good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore where seagulls fly.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. It is time for the Brighton Fan Show. Now, the Seagulls face Sheffield United this weekend, who come into this clash unbeaten in five prior to that winter break. They were very well behaved, weren't they, out in Dubai? Zero controversy there. Brighton come into this one winless in six, questionable behaviour, I suppose, out in Spain, and a fair bit of controversy too. It will be, however, the first time that the Blades have hosted the Seagulls in a top flight game. So, nice little stat to start the show with. We're going to get on to our guests in a moment or two, but a quick update from the Championship, and that is that Derby and Fulham are currently locked at one apiece. Great game. Bit of a boring first half, to be fair, but it's burst into life in the second half. Wayne Rooney with a goal on his 500th English League appearance there. A lovely Panenka chip beyond Marek Rodak. Of course, Rodak with a horrendous performance last week for Fulham against Barnsley. He's absolutely redeeming himself this week, to be fair. He's made a couple of very, very good saves. One in the first half from Tom Lawrence and just recently from Max Bird. A goal. He's just clawed one off the line as well. Another attempt from Tom Lawrence. No surprises that Alexander Mitrovic was the equaliser for Fulham. Lovely finish from the angle. It's 1-1 at the moment between Derby and Fulham. We'll continue to update you on that as and when the game finishes. But right now, it is the Brighton Fan Show. As I said, joining me as ever, we've got Josh Goldsmith from the Together podcast. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. Great to have you on the line. And Adam Stenning, sports reporter, Albion reporter, I should say, from the Argus, joins us too. Hello, Adam.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So, gents, it's been a bit of a break for the boys. Josh, I'll come to you first. How are you feeling? Do you think they'll come back rejuvenated, hungry? Hungry as ever to stay in the Premier League?
I hope so, because we've got a few less games to go now. You know, it's never going to be an easy game going up to Sheffield United. They've been such a good side this year, so I hope they're hungry. Because, you know, regardless, it's still a game that we can look and try and get a point from, if not more. So yeah, fingers crossed they've come back. They've had a talking to over whatever they did in Spain, and they come back and put it right.
Over whatever they did, indeed. Adam, I guess I'll come to you here as, you know, an Albion reporter for the Argus, and we'll usher this aeration out of the room early doors. But any fallback on this? We haven't really heard anything official from the club. They said that they were going to be dealing an internal investigation with those four players who are out in Spain messing around with balloons. Balloongate, we labelled it here on Love Sport Radio. Have you heard any more news about this?
I think Graham Potter was talking about it and just saying that obviously they've sort of spoke to him internally, but you know, I think it was he just understands that it's a mistake from those players, and I think they've learnt their lesson from that, and that's really it. I think apart from that, as you say, the club has sort of dealt with it internally and tried to sort of, you know, keep it on the low. I think that investigation and what they've said there, but I think it's just they've just done an investigation, and then, you know, Potter's said they've done that investigation and that, you know, they just made a mistake. So.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's one of those, isn't it? Not a storm in a teacup, of course, because these guys are role models and you need to obviously behave in a certain way. You have a code of conduct, I suppose, but if they were just having a bit of a laugh on holiday during a winter break, then really, I don't think we should get too het up about it. Wouldn't surprise me, though, if at Bramall Lane this weekend, you might see a few Sheffield United fans with balloons throwing them onto the pitch. I'd imagine that might very well happen. I did mention that it is the first game between the two clubs in the top flight, Josh, so a nice occasion, if anything.
Yeah, I actually was just looking before the show started as to when we last played them, because it feels like yesterday I was there, because I went to, like, I can think of all the games we went to at Sheffield United, and it was almost 15 years ago. So I was blown away by that. But yeah, it'll be good. You know, it was always a pretty nice place to go for me. It was always a decent ground, easy to get to. You know, all the train lines are easy enough. So, let's see how we get on. Let's see.
Yeah, let's see. We're definitely going to get into that as the show goes on. We're going to talk about, of course, who Graham Potter will plump for in his starting 11. We're also going to talk about Alexis McAllister, of course. We've spoken about him on the show a fair few times. But Adam, I want to come to you with regards to the sounds of those who might be up front tomorrow. Now, Glenn Murray has started the last two. Aaron Connolly's been doing it in training, apparently looking very, very good behind closed doors. Neil Maupay, of course, 631 minutes now without a Premier League goal. Hasn't scored since that game at Crystal Palace. Hasn't scored in his last 21 shots, to be fair. Graham Potter effectively saying that it's likely to be Glenn Murray.
Yeah, I think he sort of said over the last sort of couple of weeks since he's brought Murray back in that he sort of faced the questions, has he underused Murray, and given the situation, has he definitely underused him? And I think he sort of admitted that maybe he has underused him. But I think it depends how he wants to go about it. If he wants to really sort of trouble the Sheffield United defence with pace, then it's going to be Maupay or Connolly. But if he wants to maybe, you know, try and make that ball stick and just see how it goes early doors, then it's going to be a Murray. But I think with Murray, he has shown that, you know, he showed against West Ham that if you give him the opportunity, he will take them in the box. And I was speaking to the ex-Sheffield United and Brighton manager, Mickey Adams, recently, and he had Glenn Murray in his squad. He's the sort of sole survivor of that Albion squad when Mickey Adams was last in charge, which was 2007, 2008, around that time. Glenn Murray's the only survivor of that squad. And he sort of said that, you know, Glenn Murray, he summed it up in one sort of sentence saying, you know, he is alive in that box. And that is what Brighton have got to do. If Murray is up front, you know, you need the likes of whoever's on those wings, if it's Trossard, if it's March, if it's Gross out there, if Moy ends up out there, then you just need to get the ball into the box and make, you know, Glenn Murray, if you give him, you know, two or three chances in the box, he is likely to take at least one, if not all two or three of them sometimes.
Would you agree with that, Josh? I think that pretty much makes sense, doesn't it? We've spoken about it a fair few times on the show, in the sense that whilst Glenn Murray hasn't really had much game time, we are at a point now where if we're going to be playing like that, he's the ideal candidate to be the one poaching those goals, as we saw him doing at the London Stadium a few weeks ago.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, his goals to shots ratio in the Premier League, I think, is pretty outrageous, if I can remember correctly. You know, he tends to take a lot of his chances when they're presented to him, and that's something that the club has struggled with, it really, ever since we got into the Premier League. So, you know, it can't hurt. It really does depend, like Adam said, on how we line up and how we want to play against them. They are a team that are pretty used to conceding possession, so they're probably going to try and hit us on the break, like a lot of teams have started to do. So it's going to be interesting to see whether we kind of try and play fire with fire and be pretty happy to bring them onto us and try and break on them. And if we do, obviously Maupay or Connolly may well start. But I would like to just see at some point, you know, Maupay and Murray start together, or Connolly and Murray start together, just to see what they can do. Don't think it'll be away at Sheffield United, but I would like to see it at some point.
It is, of course, we're in 2020 now, and Brighton without a win in this decade, I suppose, if you can put it that way, Adam. Have you noticed anything in Graham Potter at all that he's not cracking, but a different guy from the guy that took over the job in the summer? I noticed that he said, in fact, in his presser that he witnessed the similar situation they've got at Sheffield United to what he had at Östersund. He used the words clarity, identity, understanding and belief, and he knows what that can do for a group. He also admitted that whilst he's trying to do that at Brighton, he hasn't quite yet achieved it. He said it will take time, but I thought that was quite critical, really, that he admitted, you know, I'm not where I want to be yet.
Yeah, I think Graham's one of those people. He's brutally honest with the media and brutally honest with the fans, and you know, he will be the first probably to hold his hands up and say maybe things haven't gone the way that he planned, especially given, you know, maybe how they started the season. Maybe, I don't know if some fans got maybe a bit carried away with how they started, and some of the results they've got against the likes of Spurs and Arsenal have probably given fans a bit of hope that they can, you know, get a few more results on the board. But it hasn't maybe gone the way against the sides in and around them. But I think this sort of run, and I think the break has probably done them a bit of good, because it's given them the, you know, 2 weeks to go away. You know, it's given Potter plenty of time to sort of sit there and go, maybe, and as you say, in this presser, he sort of said that it hasn't maybe gone as well as he'd hoped, and, you know, that, you know, Sheffield United have got this identity and that, and, you know, we've got to sort of remember it's his first season in the Prem. He's still getting used to the Premier League, and it's going to take time, because obviously his style is drastically different to what Chris Hughton was trying to do with the players. So, you know, it's sort of that mindset from against a team like Sheffield United. It might be under Hughton, it might have been, right, we'll park the bus, see where we are, and just try and frustrate them. Whereas with Graham, he's all about going out, trying to get on the front foot and play this sort of edge of the seat football that the fans have been wanting. And you know, it hasn't maybe gone the way he's wanted, but I think, you know, if they were to get one or two results out of the next three or four games, then it might just sort of get them going again. They just need a win, I think, just to reignite and get some confidence going again in the squad.
Did you get carried away, Josh? I mean, you're a big Brighton fan. Did you get carried away with the way that Brighton started the season under Graham Potter?
I was definitely very hopeful about it. You know, we started so well, winning 3-0 away at Watford. We kind of changed the style of play to a style that pretty much everybody wanted to see, for better or worse. But I've always been one of those pragmatic people that just look at 38 points constantly and pray that we get there. So I wasn't getting too excited, but there was a lot of reason to be excited. I still think there is with the way we play. I think we play the right way in terms of getting results. I think that changing it now would be crazy. And, you know, I think Adam is spot on. Like, if we just get that one win, you know, I think we can really pick it up and kick on. And we have a couple of games in which to do it, with, you know, Palace at home, Wolves away, and Sheffield United tomorrow. There's places where we can pick up that cheeky win and crack on.
Yeah, Palace away. Before we move on, we'll get onto that next week in greater detail, Josh. But it's interesting, isn't it? This game pretty much came up around the same time last season, give or take a couple of weeks or so. I think it was the first week in March, the first weekend in March. And you won on that occasion. On this occasion, you kind of want that win to be a catalyst for Brighton to finish the season strongly. Conversely, last season, great win away from home, great goal from Anthony Knockaert, of course, but didn't win again in 9 games for the remainder of the campaign.
Yeah, and we didn't look like we were going to win again for the rest of the games. We defended like absolutely crazy in those last couple of games and got those vital points, you know, against Wolves and Arsenal that kept us up. But those couple of games we had throughout the beginning of March, Huddersfield and Palace, that really kind of sealed the deal that were very, very, very important for us. And let's hope that we can start that better now than later on, because you know, we need results and we need them quickly. The only reason that we don't look too bad is because all the teams around us are conspiring to lose as well.
Well, certainly. We're definitely going to get onto that, to be fair. We're going to look at those results that have occurred during that winter break, meaning that Brighton are really not in much worse shape than they were when they went on the winter break themselves. It's the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Plenty coming up.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Josh Goldsmith from the Together podcast. Adam Stenning, Albion reporter for the Argus, joins us too. Now, Josh, you mentioned there that results during the winter break pretty much did go Brighton's way. Still just 3 points ahead of that relegation zone, but it could have been a lot worse, of course. West Ham United recently losing to Manchester City, Norwich losing to Liverpool, and Villa with a last-gasp defeat against Spurs. So it's pretty much as it was.
Yeah, it's been an excellent kind of winter break for us in the end. Everybody did what they needed to do. It's getting to a silly season now where you start cheering for teams that you would never think of. I was off the sofa when Tottenham put that third one past Villa because we desperately needed it. I think that was pretty much possibly Son's last kick of the season. But yeah, it's been a pretty good winter break, all things considered. All the teams around us picked up absolutely nothing.
Yep, some big games coming up this weekend too. We'll get onto those in a minute. But Adam, I just wanted to touch on a story that broke this week regarding Matheus Cunha. Now, this is a player that moved from Leipzig to Hertha Berlin. Apparently, Brighton were very much in the race, close to signing him, but it didn't quite work out. Didn't materialise. Around 16 million.
Yeah, I think he's a name that I think we'd had mentioned to us. As far as I could understand, I'm not sure if it's right, but from what we were hearing, that I don't know if there was as much interest as it's been reported. You know, that's all I know, I think, on that one. But I'm sure he's a great player. But you know, it remains to be seen whether, I don't know if there actually was any interest in it or whether there is. But I think what we heard was there wasn't as much interest as maybe has been reported elsewhere.
Oh, interesting. Always the case. Sometimes stories to ramp up a bit of a story ahead of a game, of course, especially Brighton continue to not find the net. A player that did come in was Tarik Lamptey. He's been spoken of this weekend, of course. I know Stephen Arzati has been by his side to an extent, another young player coming into the side. Graham Potter is full of praise for Lamptey, basically saying that he's going to be a future star. A good addition for Brighton, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's a sort of great addition. I saw him play for Chelsea in that game he played against Arsenal, and he sort of showed that he's you know, quite fearless. He's, you know, he's not the tallest of guys, and he could be, Brighton could have that combo of the smallest right back in the league with the tallest left back in the league, with Dan Burn at 6'7" the other side. So that could be quite interesting. I just hope for their sake that Dan Burn's not coming out in front of him in the tunnel. But, you know, he is one of those players who looks like he wants to get on the front foot, is trying to sort of get forward. But I think he's still young, and I think Potter's also said, as well as praising him, he's also said that he's got to be, I think he's one of those people that is mindful of maybe sort of the longevity of these sort of young players' careers and doesn't want to overdo it early on. I remember him saying about how he didn't want to do that with Connolly and Alzate, and that's why sometimes they're rested or, you know, are on the bench some games, maybe just because he thinks that maybe for the longevity of his career, the longevity of their career, it's not worth, you know, overdoing them now. And I think he sort of said that with the likes of Dan James last season. He did that with him at Swansea as well. It's trying not to overload these young players. But I think Lamptey will have a part to play at some point. But I think at the minute, you know, Potter's just easing him in and just, you know, trying not to throw him straight in at the deep end, given the situation the club's in at the minute as well.
Yeah, indeed. Ezequiel Schelotto getting a bit of game time recently. He's come out, spoken quite highly of Alexis McAllister as well. Graham Potter saying that he's going to be very careful about the way that he utilises him. He might be in contention for the weekend's games, of course. He's been all over the news, really. I kind of feel for him, Josh, because he's one of those players that hasn't played for Brighton yet, but there's so much attention around him, so much pressure to an extent for him to come in to the side, play potentially against, well, behind, sorry, that front pairing or that front Glenn Murray, be it Neil Maupay, be it Aaron Connolly. But he's got a lot of pressure on him to produce pretty much straight away, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And it's not often I will say anything negative about the club, but I feel like they've been fueling it this week. They've been posting a lot of Twitter clips and Instagram clips teasing us as to how well he's doing in training already. You know, fueling the hype, and I just hope it pays off, because every time I've seen him, he does look very, very good. And he does look like a player that will adapt to the Premier League very quickly. And I feel like there's always one or two signings in January that, you know, can transform a team and turn them around. And we haven't seen a great deal of them so far, so maybe this is one of them. And thankfully it's for us. But I do think that they've put a lot of hype on him, fans and the club alike almost. And, you know, if he doesn't start pulling up trees early, I feel like there's going to be a couple of people disappointed. But I kind of want to say it's their own fault, because he's never played English football before, or even outside of South America. So hopefully people keep their expectations in check somewhat.
Yeah, certainly a different kettle of fish in the Premier League. Adam, what are the sounds from where you are coming out about McAllister?
Well, I think from what I've sort of heard of what he's been doing out in South America, I think he's, you know, he's still young. Obviously, he's only 21, but he's, you know, he's been impressing for Argentina's under-23s recently, scoring some wonderful goals, including one from outside the box that he put straight in the top corner. He seems to be very confident. He seems to be very assured from what I've heard of him. And, you know, he just wants to keep progressing his career. And, you know, he was fairly happy at Boca Juniors, because that was his dream club, you know, in Argentina. But he's also had this dream of playing in the Premier League, and he'll get to achieve that now. But I think what will help him is the fact that the players he's been playing with out of Boca Juniors, he's been playing alongside the likes of Carlos Tevez. He's a vastly experienced player, has played in the Premier League, you know, knows what to expect. He's obviously played also with, they've had Daniela De Rossi there at Boca, who's now retired. But he, again, is another experienced midfielder that he's going to have been playing with. And obviously, you know, he's been with the national team, the Argentinian national team, so he's been rubbing shoulders with the likes of Messi and that, which I think maybe does sort of add to that hype, because it's not, you know, you don't just get ordinary players that rub their shoulders with the likes of Messi. You know, you have to be fairly good to get in that Argentinian team if you look at that sort of forward area with the likes of Aguero, Messi, you know, Di Maria, players like that, that are sort of top quality players across the world. And, you know, he will have that hype, obviously, but I think you've just got to give him two or three games. I don't think you've got to expect too much from him, but I think his role, as Potter's saying, remains to be seen on how much he uses him. I think he's going to be another one who he will, you know, just gradually put in. It might be a case that maybe he's on the bench tomorrow, and then has a stint off the bench, and we see what he does off the bench, and just slowly easing him into the English football, because as has been mentioned, you know, he hasn't played English football before, so, you know, we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But I think fans just need to be careful not to overhype him too much.
Yeah, absolutely. It does feel like he was more a purchase for next season and the future of the club, doesn't it? But if he comes in, remains to be seen. He could be, like you say, the superstar, the saviour of the season. Now, Josh, before we get to the end of the show, I just want to quickly rattle through the fixtures, because some big games, I mean, every game now, 12 games left in the Premier League for all 20 teams going into this weekend. Every game now until the end of the season is huge. Burnley travelling to Bournemouth. You've got Watford travelling to Manchester United. Norwich travelling travelling to Wolves and West Ham travelling to Liverpool. All very difficult games there, but the two big ones, other than Brighton's game with Sheffield United, of course, Palace, Newcastle. You could see that one as both teams going, do you know what, maybe we should just share the spoils and get a draw here. But if one of them does lose and then the teams below them win, they are dragged right back into that. And Villa travelling to Southampton as well, another team that are on the precipice of being dragged back into this relegation scrap. So it's a massive weekend in the Premier League for those relegation places today.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy to think that we're almost at 27 games in and we've still got really half the league that could go down. And that big one there that you said, Newcastle Palace, you know, Palace have been in awful form, similarly to us. I don't think they've won a game in 2020 either. I think we're about the only two left in England. And you know, they have to play Newcastle this weekend. If they don't win that, and then they come to us next weekend and lose that too, then they are very much in the mix. You know, that's two teams right around them that they'd have lost to, and that could turn sour very quickly for them. Sadly, not.
Josh, lovely to have you on again. Just a very quick score prediction from you.
I'm going to go with 1-1.
1-1. Adam Stenning, and the same from you, please.
Oh, I'm going to be very optimistic. I'm going to go 2-1 Brighton.
2-1 Brighton. Thank you very much, fellas. Nothing but a pleasure being in your company for the past half an hour. Brighton travelling to Sheffield United to Bramall Lane for the first time ever in top flight competition this weekend. We'll give you all the fallout from that next weekend, 9:30 here on Love Sport Radio, Brighton Fan Show. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.